strain the soul around. Turn up the dial, kick back, we're freedom bound. So pack up your bags and throw me the key.
Welcome to episode 30 of Women of the Wagons. I'm Cass Patterson. Well, it's been a bit of a hiatus, break, vacation. I'm not 100% sure what you'll call it, but it's been a while since I was on here, and I'm excited to be back. Maybe in the upcoming episodes, I can chat a little bit about, that extended break, but I really just want to get right into it today. I recorded this interview with Alyssa McDonald back in December. So it's been a couple months, but I've been trying to get Alyssa on the podcast since 2020. So it's been a little while. However, I'm excited that I finally got her on the phone. We got to chat, and yeah, let's just get right into it.
So I guess we can start off with your childhood. As I'm going through your questionnaire and you're talking about one of your favorite book series, and your obsession was the Pony Pal Girls book series and how you guys pretended to have horses. So let's start there.
Sure. So I have two sisters, an older sister, Amanda, and younger sister, Kayla. And Kayla kind of got us started with the wagons. But yeah, we all loved horses, but didn't have any growing up. So we would read the Pony Pal Girls, and so did our one cousin, and we would pretend that the horses in the book were our horses, and since we couldn't go out and ride them, we would take brooms and ride around the kitchen, and then when my mom would get annoyed of us, we would go ride around the block on these brooms and pretend they were our horses. And as we would like travel, we would pretend to be holding like their shanks out the window and tell Dad to slow down because the horses couldn't keep up. We were quite obsessed.
So then when did you guys kind of start spending more time around the wagons, because your uncle Wayne Digg was a big part of it?
Yeah. My mom, actually, when she was growing up, she would help out her uncle Ole, so my great uncle, I guess, Ole Swenson, and he was a pony driver. And then she would help out with like my uncle Wayne as well a little bit, which is Lorena's dad. And so yeah, we would always go whenever the races were in Saskatoon, we would go and watch. And then it wasn't until I think in 2013, I think, is when Kayla went with Lane and Lorena. So after the Saskatoon show, they were on to the next, and Kayla jumped in to go to a couple shows, and then she ended in Calgary, I think, and we kind of lived vicariously through her, and I was instantly jealous and wanted to go. So then the following year, Kayla went for the full summer with McGilvery's, and I just went after I was done teaching for that year. So I went to, I think, Pinoca, Calgary, and Bonnyville, I think, was the first three that I had gone to, and then I'd come back to work. And then the next year, either 2014 or 2015, I can't exactly remember the years, but then started going with them full time. I would kind of, since I teach during the year, I would fly out to Grand Prairie because that's a fun one because it's just the beginning and everyone's all excited. And then Saskatoon is where I live, so that was a nice show. And I'll bring my class for a field trip. And then every weekend I would drive out until Pinoca came around, and that's when school finishes up, so then I would join them for the rest of the summer.
So what was it like bringing your class for a field trip? Because that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting because you get off this big bus and then the kids all come out, and I teach at Montgomery School in Saskatoon, so it's just still in Saskatoon, but just right on the very outside. So we have a mixture of kids that live in the area or come from different schools around the area, or our Bustin and our farm kids as well. So there's a big kind of mixture. So some of them know horses and others have never really been around them. So it's funny taking them, and then they follow you around and go get to see the wagon and sit in the wagon and pet a horse and ask questions, and are usually pretty excited. It's funny. Some of them are more excited to pet Buddy the McGilvery dog, but lots of them, yeah, they really like it. And we usually, I think, we talk to a couple outriders, and then we'll go down and watch and see if anyone's doing any practicing in the morning, so they actually get to kind of see the wagons go, or people on outriding horses. So it's pretty neat. And then quite a few of them actually will then go to the races in the evening because they've kind of got the itch, or they tell their parents about it, and it's something fun to go do.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, it's neat. It's my favorite field trip.
So how did you, I guess, start your career in teaching? What gave you the itch to go in and be a teacher?
Well, I've been teaching now for 7 years in Saskatoon. Originally, I went to university right out of high school. For my first couple years, I was just in arts and science. I was playing soccer for the university team, so just kind of taking a couple classes and playing soccer and having some fun and trying to figure it out. Originally, I thought I wanted to be a physiotherapist, like since I was probably 10 or 11, I thought that's what I wanted to be. Just through getting like different injuries in soccer and stuff, I thought they were pretty cool. And then in one of my sociology classes, we had to go and volunteer somewhere, and I chose to go to a school. And then I fell in love with working with the kids and kind of the school dynamic and being able to just like help them learn and see the light bulb or get it if they're having a rough day, just to be there to listen to them or that. So then I decided that I would apply into education instead. And then it worked out well for me because I decided to stop playing soccer and I wanted to kind of work a little bit more. And then my friend and I both had a term off because she applied to nursing and I applied to education. So we decided to go backpacking instead. So we went to Thailand, Cambodia, and Vietnam for a couple months.
That would be a really cool trip, actually. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was kind of lucky. In high school, we had a travel club at our school. So in grade 11, I went to Thailand for 2 weeks over April break. And then in grade 12, I went to Brazil for 2 weeks. And then I always wanted to go back to Thailand. I loved it so much. Everyone there is so happy, so warm. It's so beautiful. If anyone, I always tell people, if you have a chance to go, you should go and then go again. My friend and I went for a 40-day group tour and ended up extending and staying for about four or five months. So we were there for quite a while, but it was a lot of fun.
Do you have a favorite memory?
A favorite memory? Probably, I loved the full moon party. It's like when there's a full moon in Thailand, there's a couple beaches that do this big party and you get all dressed up in like bright clothes and then like paint yourself in like orange and yellow and red and blue. And then, yeah, everyone just stays up all night partying on the beach and they do, you have to be kind of careful too, but they do like this like fire skipping. It almost reminds me of the Nintendo game where you like light up your character and then the skipping rope goes around and you don't want to get burned by it. So that's like a real life thing that they do there. And you can have like bouncy castle type things. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And your drinks, you drink out of like a sand bucket. And yeah, that one was a lot of fun. I went bungee jumping too, which was, I'll never do again. I'm very afraid of heights, but it was one thing I needed, like I've always kind of wanted to do, or to be able to, I guess, face that fear a little bit. But I went second out of our group because I wanted to watch one person do it. And then I wanted to go because I knew I would chicken out if I watched too many more people. But when you get to the top, it was just into a pool. And when you get up to the top and kind of peek over, you can't even see the water down below you. So then the guide said, okay, you can jump in three. And I was like, oh, I don't think I can do this. And then they just pushed me and in I went.
Well, you got to face your fear, luckily.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can cross it off and never do it again.
Well, you must have enjoyed school because then you went through, once you started teaching, and got your Master of Special Education in Indigenous Studies.
Yes, I got two separate ones. So I went, as I was just starting teaching, I started taking my Indigenous Studies degree. And then once I finished that, I took kind of a year off from school and just focused on teaching and having some spare time. And then decided that if I was going to do my master's, I may as well do it now before life gets even busier. So I started working on my special education. And I just completed that about this time last year.
Basically, your favorite hashtag is school is cool, is what I'm getting from the notes you sent me.
Yeah, exactly. Stay in school, kids.
All right. Well, I guess that pretty much dives into who you are.
Yeah.
Not only do you have the relations through the McGillivrys and everything when it comes to the Wagons, but then you obviously decided that, you know, you loved it so much, you started dating a wagon driver.
Yeah, I guess so.
So how did you and Josh meet?
So we didn't really meet in person first. We actually started messaging over text first. But I guess to back up, both my sisters and I, and then Cheyenne Nichols, so she's been around the Wagons for a long time as well. She's good family friends with the Bensmillers. And then she was taking vet school, so she traveled with Jess for a bit. And then she was a wand lady at one point. She's kind of done it all when it comes to being a hired hand or around the Wagons. So she's good friends with Josh as well. So we were in Palm Springs, actually. We were at Stagecoach for the music festival a couple years ago. And she had been kind of talking to Josh while we were all there. And at the time, I had just gotten out of a relationship. And he had too, a couple months ago or 6 months prior. we were both kind of not really looking for anything. And yeah, we got home from our trip and Cheyenne had texted me the next day and said, Josh wants your number. I'm going to give it to him. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, he seems like a nice enough guy, but I don't really know him. And I'm not really looking for anything right now. Kind of hummed and hummed over it for a bit. And then the next day I got a message from him and we started talking. And it wasn't until like a year later. So I thought that he had always wanted my number and was coming after me. But Cheyenne had kind of her own little plan and she had sent him the same message saying that I was interested in him and that he should give me a text. And then she gave him my number and yeah, then we started talking and now we're here.
So what you're saying is Cheyenne was playing matchmaker.
Yeah, Cheyenne's a really good Cupid if anyone's interested.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So what was kind of COVID like? Because I know you said that you guys really kind of had to spend a lot of time together because it was kind of long distance before that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm teaching and living in Saskatoon during the school year. And then Josh has been away working. He was working up in Fort Mac all of last winter and the winter before, I think. So he's working for Midlight, which and then they ended up sponsoring us this year, which was really nice. But yeah, he's working long shifts. He'd be up there for like 2 weeks and then have a couple of days off and up for 3 weeks and a couple of days off. And then every once in a while he'd have more than a couple of days and that was nice. So yeah, we were distanced for a long time and then COVID hit and he got sent home and then schools switched to online. And at first I just thought COVID was going to be kind of like a 2 week thing. So I packed like a small suitcase and headed out to Dewberry. So I was like, well, I can teach online from anywhere. So I may as well be in Dewberry instead of in Saskatoon, especially I'd rather be, you know, in a small town instead of a big city. And out with the horses and with Josh and everything. And at that time, the Benz Millers, like Kurt and Ashley and the girls, they were living at Josh's because he wasn't there and I wasn't there and they were redoing their house. They were doing a bunch of renos. So it went from us not really seeing each other that much to living together with Kurt and Ash and their three girls. So it was, I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. We were a busy house. I mean, we were all outside a lot as well, but it was nice. The girls were doing online school as well, so it was a lot of fun. We had a busy house.
And you guys decided to try the whole TikTok thing a few times. That was entertaining to watch.
Yeah, it was actually Josh who started kind of watching TikTok, but I was like, oh, I'm not into that. I don't need like another thing to occupy me on my phone. And then we got more and more into it, and then some of them are like challenging kind of and funny to do. So whenever I see one, like, I'll send it to him if we're not together, or instantly I will run to where he is and be like, we got to try this. So yeah, we've made a few over the last little bit. One of my favorites was the flip one. I just like bend and give him my arms and then he like stand. I don't know what he does actually, but and then I just do a flip and we'd put pillows on the ground and we're kind of timid on doing it because I was still kind of recovering from my broken leg. I was up and walking and stuff, but shouldn't really be trying different flips, but yeah, they're fun. There's a few that I still want to try.
And how did you break your leg again?
So that's kind of a funny story now. It's about this time last year. So my favorite horse of the Renan Lanes, and I guess my all-time favorite is Jim. He's an out-riding horse that they've had. They've had him pretty much the whole time that I've been around wagons. And he's always been my favorite. He's such a nice boy to be around. And until it comes time to race time or to saddle him, he'll always try and kick out and you got to kind of be careful around him. He'll try and headbutt you, but he's still my favorite. It's always been my favorite. And for Christmas last year, so he was for sale, so I decided that I would buy him for Josh for a Christmas present because it would work out great because it would also be a present for me. So we surprised him in the morning. Trey went and told him that I had gotten kicked, I think, so that Josh would come running out, and he slowly came out and saw me standing there with Jim. And at first he thought that I wanted him to buy another horse. So he said, no, we don't need another horse. I had told him that we were there to pick up a horse for Robbie Ether to get him to bring a trailer down. And then when it came time to loading him, I like to grab onto them and then swing on in the summertime. So me and Trey were standing with him and I was like, okay, I want to try it again. And I was in my like jacket and my winter boots, and usually I'm wearing runners, so I think that's why I didn't get on as easy. That's what I like to tell myself. But so I went to swing on and I didn't quite get on all the way. So I was kind of like shimmying my way up, and I had kicked him. So he lunged, and if I would have held on, it would have been fine. Cause the rest of the horses all took off, but Jim just took like a leap and then a couple quick steps, and Trey was holding him the whole time. but I just bailed off and kind of slipped as I landed, and my leg went, my foot and ankle kind of went out, and my leg came straight down, and I ended up, breaking my leg in like a spiral break and then a straight across one as well. So then Josh and I spent our Christmas Eve in a hospital, and then a couple of days later I had to go back, and then once the swelling went down, I had to go in for surgery, so I still have a plate and screws.
You don't believe in doing anything the easy way, do you?
No. That's my story of my broken leg and my first horse.
At least it's memorable.
Yeah, exactly. I'll always have a part of him with me.
We will get back to your kind of horse buying addiction now, because you have another funny story. But I wanted to kind of go back to Robbie Ether and how he played a part in last winter, because things slowly opened up last year a little bit. You were able to go back to work. Josh was able to go back to work. So you really took on kind of the caretaker role for the horses.
Yeah, we decided. So Josh was going back up to work, where he was back up in Fort Mac with Midlight, and I was back teaching in person in Saskatoon. So we were kind of humming and hawing over what to do with the horses. And then Robbie Ether, he's a driver in the CPCA, and him and Josh are good friends. Yeah, just lives right outside of Saskatoon, actually just outside, probably like 15, 20 minutes from my school, same side of the city, which is nice. And so we moved the horses there. He had a spot for us to put them and let us stay there for the winter. And then into spring training, we were there until Josh moved them back to Dewberry. But so yeah, that was a big adjustment, because I've only ever been kind of around and taking care of horses in the summertime, but it's always whatever I'm kind of told to do, like go wrap that horse's leg, or go, really I like to just brush, fill water, that kind of stuff. But so yeah, it was a big learning curve for me. I was lucky because Kayla and I were roommates with a couple friends, so she would come out with me quite often, and my mom and my other sister. And then Robbie and his wife Donna's so smart when it comes to horses, and their daughter Delaney as well. So we had kind of lots of people to answer my questions. And we had Janelle is her name, and she has a massage school, so she would come out and massage some of the horses, and she was always just a phone call away as well whenever I was panicking over something.
That sounds pretty amazing, because it really was a village then that helped take care of the horses and helped you get through your first winter.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was huge. There was lots of times where I would call Lorena or Lane, and I'd either be crying or like freaking out because I'd be nervous over something, and it would turn out to be nothing. And I'd be sending a bunch of pictures and videos to Josh up at work, and he would be up however high in the air climbing a pole and think that something's really wrong and that something was okay. Or if it was wrong, it could have maybe waited until he was on the ground. But
you're like, you're not that high up. You need to look at this.
He has a scratch.
But that just shows how much you love the horses.
Yeah, they're my babies.
So like you said, Jim is your MVP, or as we usually refer to it, Canadian Idol. But you got your second horse fairly quickly after you got your first horse and then decided to break your leg, which, yeah, I'm very impressed that you broke your leg and still very quickly bought another horse.
Yeah.
So you say that Prince is also a funny story.
Yeah. So in the wintertime, actually, I guess we got Prince, I bought Jim first, and Jim is my first horse, but then Prince actually, we got from Cody and Katrina Ridsdale, and he had dropped him off before Christmas, taking care of the horses in the winter, and I've never seen a horse colic before, which I learned after is something that happens quite often. So one of our horses, Glory, was colicking pretty bad, and I was freaking out. I ended up like sleeping in the barn that night and going and checking on him every hour because I was so stressed out, which probably, like in retrospect, didn't help him rest. But yeah, I was really worried about him, and he was kind of laying the one night, and I was rubbing him and telling him sweet nothings. And then I promised him that if he gets better, I would buy him a friend. And then the next day he started kind of getting back to normal. And then I think it was a couple days later, and yeah, he was as good as new. So I just thought, well, you can't really break a promise like that. So all of a sudden I was talking to Katrina, because I was actually trying to set up, because Cody has his business where he will travel horses for you. So I was going to maybe get them to pick up Jim and bring him to me, so that when Josh got back from work, Jim would be there. And then I was talking to her about, I don't even know what we were talking about. We were just chatting. And then she had asked kind of how things were going. And I had mentioned that we were still looking for more horses and that, and she said that they had a few that they were looking to part with, and we talked a little bit more, and then kept coming back to Prince, and then Celia, who had worked for them, was one of my good friends as well, and she knew Prince because she had worked with them for a couple years, and she said, oh yeah, you'll love him. And then I decided, well, I can't break this promise to Glory, so here comes Prince.
So in a matter of a couple months, you bought two horses and were able to be a matchmaker for the one horse.
Yes.
I love that. That's probably the best story I've heard.
Yeah. Now I've learned that you can't make those kind of promises to horses.
I'm sure Josh is shaking his head at you.
Yeah. Well, at first when he came back into the barn, Robbie and I had put Prince into the barn, so when Josh came to bring in the harness and stuff from his truck, that he would see this horse in there, and then that's kind of, I was going to say, surprise. And Rena and Lane had went and got six or so new horses, and one of the horses that they got, his real name I think was Hans Burglar or something, and I wanted to call him Burger, and he's got an overbite, and I think he's really cute, so, and I talked about him quite a few times, so then Josh thought it was, he asked me, is this Burger horse? No, try again.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Now, where do Prince and Jim, you said was an outriding horse, but where does Prince go on the wagon?
Everywhere.
Everywhere?
Yeah, he's been around for a while. He's an older boy, so he can go kind of everywhere. I think Luke had him before and had him kind of on mostly the lead, and then Cody used him on the wheel and the lead. We used him on the lead when we had him this summer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually the first time I went in the wagon, Prince was on, so that was kind of cool too.
Yes, you got to spend your first summer kind of really doing the whole wagon wife thing, including being in the wagon multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was setting up for the first show like? I guess the first show was Dewberry, and luckily the barn was kind of right beside your guys' house.
Yeah, so that was nice. We didn't have to pack up a camp or anything yet. We had a full house. We had everyone and anyone coming in and staying, and everyone helped. It actually was really good. I was kind of not nervous, but you just get the anxious nerves, I guess, of going with somebody new. Like when every summer with McGillivray's, it was just be plain excitement because I knew my job. I knew I needed to brush the horses. The outriding horses was kind of my thing, so I would brush them, pick their feet, get them ready. I knew my job. But then with Josh, I didn't have kind of a job description, I guess. I was just the girlfriend / hired hand / cook, which I learned. All these things that come with it, I guess, instead of just being the hired hand. Lorena made everything look really easy. Yeah, no, the first show was good. It was exciting. The horses did well, and it was nice. My mom came and she stayed at the house, and same with my auntie Diane, and Lorena and Lane were parked just beside us as well, and we would do kind of all of our meals together. I only had to cook once, and Lorena and my mom and auntie cooked all the rest of the meals for everybody, and it's nice being at home, surrounded by family and friends and everything for the first show, lots of support, and then we packed up and went to Lloyd.
And then in Lloyd, it was kind of cool because you were able to have, you know, the help from people like Ray Crotto and Ashley and, you know, all of that. And actually, you said that you have an interesting story about how you and Ashley, Ray's wife, became friends.
Yeah. So that's the other thing that, like, wagons is so neat, is that you meet people and then they become your lifelong friends. And Ashley and I had kind of met each other a few times, but I don't like to nap during the day, and everyone likes napping, so I would either kind of go for a drive or go shopping or see if we needed groceries or anything like that. And Ashley was at, I think we were at Dawson or Rocky. Yeah, we were in Rocky, and Ashley was there too, so we had kind of all had drinks the night before and like got to know each other a little bit, but not like close or anything, or didn't kind of make plans for the next day. And so she's cousins of Brett and Brendan Nolan, and Brendan had told her, well, he couldn't hang out with her that afternoon because he was shoeing, but to go find me, or vice versa, to go find each other, because both of us don't like to nap. So that's how our friendship started. And then we became kind of closer and closer. And then during COVID, or I guess during COVID, but not the beginning of it, middle, I guess I'd say, when Josh was away working and Ray was away working, we would hang out quite a bit. Her being in Lloyd and I was in Dewberry, we would get together quite often. And then this summer, her and Ray came around a lot to help us and help Chancelot and Brittany as well. So we got to be together quite a bit. And then I was able to be a part of their wedding as one of Ashley's bridesmaids. So it's neat how you go from not knowing each other to bonding over not enjoying to nap and then become lifelong friends.
Speaking of weddings, I've been dying to hear the story. I've seen the photos, so I have an idea of how it happened. But how did you and Josh get engaged?
So I didn't see it coming at all. In, I guess, Lloyd, like his good friend, like Matt and Lyle and his family and Mackenzie helped us out the whole time. And my sister's friend Jade was down there with us. And I kind of would make the joke that I was a girlfriend on a wagon wife salary, that I was doing all the chores and the cooking and organizing and grocery shopping and whatnot, but on girlfriend status instead of the wife status. And it was kind of a joke. But then in High River, we had Brooklyn, Josh's daughter, with us, and he had gotten family pictures booked. So Kira came out, so she's a Sutherland before she was married, and she takes lovely pictures. And he got her to come out to take some pictures of us with the horses at sunset. So I was getting Brooklyn ready, and then we went outside, and the two of them took some pictures, and then all three of us. And then Josh had to go to the washroom, so Brooklyn and I had a couple pictures. And then she said, told me, well, why don't you take one with Prince and my dog Mocha? So I had Mocha in my arms, and was holding Prince, and she told me, okay, look at her, now look at Prince, now turn and look back at Josh. And when I looked back at Josh, him and Brooklyn were down on one knee.
That's the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, it was, I didn't see it coming at all. And like looking back, I probably should have, but yeah, no, I didn't see it coming at all. So yeah, it was nice. And I also love pictures. I always like look back at pictures. That's how I spend most of my nights throughout the winter, looking at pictures of the summer. And yeah, so it's nice that we have all the pictures of kind of before and then the during. She has me like looking at her, looking at Prince, and then turning around, and she got the reaction of me and of Josh and Brooklyn. And it's nice. There's lots of nice pictures. And then we went, she took us down to a spot by the river to do a quick change and then do engagement pictures.
Which you had no idea you were doing, but now you do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny too, because his mom and his sister knew, and they are both like very stylish. And we had gone to his sister's house that day. And Josh had some trouble with the ring, so he's had it, but it was in Battleford is where he got it, from his friend's mom's jewelry store. And then they had sent it to him, but then I guess it got lost in the mail, and then he ended up having to go pick it up that day because it wasn't being delivered. It was supposed to go to his sister's house, but then they couldn't find his sister's house or something like that. I'm not too sure how it got lost, but he was trying to go pick it up and kind of ditch me, but I didn't want to be ditched, so he said, well, why don't you stay here and me and Brooklyn will go visit Tasha and you can kind of just relax for the day. And I was like, not likely, I'll be coming too. So then he kept trying to bail. And then finally he said, oh, I need to go talk to one of his sponsors. You stay here. So then when I was there, his mom and his sister kind of knew, and they asked me, oh, what are you going to wear tonight for your pictures? And I thought, oh, I don't know, I don't really have any nice clothes. I'll probably just wear like jeans and a shirt. And then his sister Tasha said, well, come shopping in my closet. And she had so many nice clothes. So yeah, I was fully dressed in her outfits and his mom's cardigan.
That's perfect.
Yeah, had a nice shower that day, not in the camper. I got to shower in a house, so that was nice too.
You're like, wait, what is this? Not a camper shower? What?
Yeah. Neat. Then Cheyenne and Dallas got engaged the day after us. So that's kind of neat too, how she set us up. And Fran's one of my best friends, and we just got engaged a day apart.
And that's really special too, because you guys can share that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's getting married this upcoming year, and I think Josh and I are going to wait till 2023, but so she can plan her wedding and then give me all her notes, and then I can go from there.
Well, you guys have a videographer if you want it.
Yeah, perfect. Where do I sign?
But after you guys got engaged, then you got to do one of your first laps around the arena for the post parade. What was that like, kind of doing that for the first time?
Really exciting. With Lane had let me jump in like a couple mornings. I got to go with him for a ride. So I'd been in the wagon before, but never kind of at night, never jumping out and jumping back in. I was really excited, but I was also really nervous that I was going to fall out of the wagon and then either get like in the way of another wagon or like fall. And so I was nervous for that. And it was funny, once we got back, they said that they were watching on the Facebook Live, and as I jumped out and landed and got out of the way, that they were all cheering, and then kind of missed the start of the race because they were happy for me not falling.
I always believed in you.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, it was fun. Lots of adrenaline and excitement. So I enjoyed it.
And Les loved talking about you the rest of the summer and the engagement, which was pretty cool to hear him talk about you guys.
Yeah, that was nice.
So I guess we're at my favorite part, and I'm going to let you choose. So we can do Venus and Mars, either you and your sisters, or you and Josh.
Oh, boy. Can we do half and half?
We can do half and half. Absolutely.
I'm also not good at making decisions, so.
So I guess let's start with your sisters. Growing up and kind of, you know, in your younger years of being around the wagons, who was better at getting up in the morning?
Kayla.
She was the morning person out of the three of you?
I would say so, yeah. A couple times that I would sleep and miss chores. And it always would turn out to be during Calgary and usually on packing day. So that's a story for another time. And Lorena probably tells it best.
So what you're saying is one of these days I'm going to have to get you, Lorena, Kayla, and your older sister all around a mic and see what we can pull out. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Tegan's pretty funny too.
If we can convince Tegan, I've been trying. She keeps telling me no.
You can get me, you can get her.
Who then is more the night owl?
Me. Yeah. Well, I guess in the past, this past summer, Kayla was more of a night owl than I was, but yeah, the last couple summers, I don't like to miss out on anything. So I would try and stay up to the last moment.
Do you get serious case of FOMO?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the worst is then when I would have to like leave on the Sunday night, like if it was the shows in June, leave on the Sunday night and then see pictures or Snapchats or texts from the crew. And yeah, and then I would be either driving home or just getting home and then check my phone and, yeah, be pretty sad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who is most likely to take control in the barn?
Kayla. Kayla is the barn boss. There's other words that I like to call her to sometimes, but.
I love it.
Yeah. Even now I have like my own boss or my own barn to boss around, and I often ask Kayla what I should do.
Who out of the three of you is the most stubborn?
I guess it would depend on what about. Amanda's fairly stubborn. I'm fairly stubborn. Kayla would be the least. Probably go Amanda, me, Kayla.
All right. Switching over to Josh.
Okay.
Which one of you two is better at getting up for chores?
Me. He'll disagree, but it's definitely me if you ask anyone else.
Who's the better cook?
Josh. I burn everything I cook, and he's a really good cook. His sister Dayla was a chef, and she taught him quite a few things as well. Yeah, he's a good cook. Although sometimes we'll eat Itchy Band for a week straight, but he can cook.
I mean, in all truth, there's nothing wrong with Itchy Band, in my opinion, but, you know.
Yeah, perfect. I'll cook for you then.
Perfect. I'm good with that. All right. Next summer, coming to your camp.
Yeah.
Who is more lenient when it comes to things?
Probably me.
Who's the better driver?
Probably him. I guess, yeah, him. I feel like I'm a pretty good driver. I just have bad luck. I'm currently on to vehicle number, I think, 11, so.
Ouch. Yeah. Okay, this last one wasn't your fault. I'm going to give you that. Not your fault.
No, the last one was stolen, so that's not my fault. A few of them I had to sell because they were breaking down or something like that, sell them for parts. But yeah,
tailgated you all the way to Dawson Creek pretty much, and I felt pretty safe behind you. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess I'm a good driver.
Especially our little camper. Convoy was kind of fun.
Yeah, can't miss the camper, so.
Between you and Josh, who is most likely to stay up later?
Josh.
And when it comes to the new puppy, who's more likely to let the puppy get away with stuff?
Me, which is unfortunate because right now he's up at work and there's I have lots of scratches and bite marks on my hand. But no, she's pretty good. She's 3.5. She was just got her shot today, so she's supposed to be getting sleepy, they said, but she's ripping around right now. I'm throwing the ball for her.
You're like, where is the sleepiness that you're supposed to have?
Exactly.
So, intriguing question. What made you go with a bigger dog?
That was Josh. So, Mocha was my little baby for the last 14 years. She started as our family dog, and then the last couple, I kind of took her as mine, and she was my sidekick. I'd bring her everywhere to people's campers. Kind of knew if you invited me, Mocha would be coming. Funny story, when we first brought Mocha to Dewberry, when the Fensmillers were staying, Vaughn and Harley and Hayes, they were all pumped to have a little puppy with them. And then the first night, Mocha actually, in the bathroom just off of our bedroom, had pooped in the shower, and Josh started the shower the next morning and stepped in to what was unfortunately Mocha's poop, and all I heard was, like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, why, what's wrong? He's like, Mocha in the shower. I was like, oh, God, how's he going to react to this? Is he going to try and make me, like, send her home? Because we're a package deal. If she goes, I go. But, no, he was very calm about it. So, but yeah, he's always had golden retrievers, so he really wanted another one. And I didn't know if I was, I guess, ready to get another dog or not until we went and looked at them. And then I thought maybe I was. And then, yeah, and then we got Millie.
Well, I'm excited to meet her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I enjoy watching your Instagram stories and Snap stories about her. She's extremely cute.
Yeah, she is. She's lots of fun. She's playful. She's actually a pretty good traveler, though. She usually just crawls into the back and falls asleep, which is nice. Cause...
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I know you were a little hesitant.
Yeah, took me a while to finally say yes.
I knew I'd wear you down. I just had to, like, bug you constantly.
Yeah, you can only politely decline a couple times.
This is what happens when you become friends with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Comes with the territory.
Thank you again, Alyssa, for coming on Women of the Wagons. Maybe in the future we can get Alyssa and Lorena and Kayla all together and, you know, sit around and chat. Alyssa threw out Tegan's name, so maybe I can convince Tegan to come on too. But I really enjoyed that conversation, and that's it for me today. You might have realized that we have switched our drop date for both Women of the Wagons and After the Ninth. So it used to be Women of the Wagons was Wednesday, and then After the Ninth was Friday. But there's this new happy medium that I found, and it's called Thursday. So you will see Women of the Wagons and After the Ninth dropping every other Thursday. So 1 week it's Women of the Wagons, next week it's After the Ninth, so on and so forward. Plus, there's a lot of exciting content coming up with an entire season scheduled for both the WPCA and CPCA, and the Calgary Stampede is back. So until next time, I'm Cass Patterson.